We're currently in a subject called When Good Becomes the Enemy of God. When good becomes the enemy of God. You see, the Bible says that God is good. And we love to say God is good, and then everybody always responds all the time, He's always good. The question is, can we assume that all that we see and perceive as good, is that always God? When the rich young ruler came to Christ and asked him what he needed to do to be saved, Jesus responded to him because he said, "Good teacher, what must I do?" And he said, "Hey, wait a minute. Who told you, who made you the judge of what's good and evil? You are being assuming to think that you get to choose who's good and who's bad, who's right and who's wrong." And he said, Jesus responds and says, "Because only God is good." Now, this is part five, and I really would love for you to go and listen to the first four parts of this series if you missed them. All you need to do is go to ChristNation.tv, select the Radio Church tab, and you'll find the archives there. But we covered so much ground. I also talked about the seven kinds of people who are deceived and do not know it. But today I want to focus on how to not be deceived. Why is this important? Because in Matthew 24, they asked Jesus, the disciples asked him, "So how do we know when the end is coming? When is it?" And Jesus, right after that, four times, four different places, in that same response to their question, four times says, "Many will be deceived. Many will be deceived. Watch out that you will not be deceived. Many will come in my name, or they will pretend to be of God, but they will deceive you." You see, Satan has always only used this one strategy, and that is deception. That is, his only ability to have power in your life is through deception. He deceived Eve. How? He showed her the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then he sold just the good part of it. You see, it's the good of something that'll attract you. Evil doesn't come to you, or let me say this, Satan doesn't come to you with horn and pitchfork. No, he comes to you as an angel of light, the Bible says. Otherwise, how would it be deceiving? The power of deception lies in its inability to appear good, to appear right. The Bible says in Proverbs that there is a way that seems right, good, approved, and acceptable to man, but the end thereof is destruction. This is why Jesus was very clear that we ought to measure a tree or judge a tree by the fruits of that tree, not by its root. That's why oftentimes people buy into things that seem to have good intentions, maybe policies, maybe politics, good intentions. But what is the ultimate outcome of that thing? We need to make sure that we are not deceived by empty promises or deceitful philosophies, as it says in 2 Corinthians. Watch out that you are not deceived. There's another deception that's huge in the body of Christ, and that is that we're always warned about false teachers. Watch out for those who deceive you, coming in my name, but deceive you. Because they will come not as wolves, even though they are, they will come as wolves in sheep's clothing. In other words, they will look acceptable. They will look like they are good, but they aren't necessarily. You know, they're very oftentimes a temptation in a minister's life to teach a gospel that's not necessarily scriptural. Oftentimes, you will hear preachers teach a gospel that says that you are saved from hardships, that Christ came to save you from difficulties, from bankruptcies, from hard times. But they don't necessarily teach that you're going to be saved from sin. You see, that's not really the scriptural gospel. The scriptural gospel is that we will be saved from sin, but because they hated Christ, so they will also hate you. So a false gospel would be the gospel that says that you are saved from hardships, but never tells you that you are in fact saved from sin or from giving yourself to sin. It's a gospel that teaches that you are to be happy, but never calls you to be holy. It's a gospel that teaches you or gives you promises that you will be great and prominent, but doesn't call you to live a selfless, humble life. It's a gospel that teaches you that you can, you know, you can be great. It appeals to your selfish ambition. It appeals to your covetous heart that you should have more all the time instead of a gospel that calls you to die to yourself. Because didn't Jesus say, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me? When we get baptized, don't we die to self in order to come alive to God in Christ Jesus? So when you hear a gospel that only appeals to your covetous heart for more, without also calling you to die to self, this is not the real gospel. Or, you know, when you hear a teaching that of the gospel that glorifies your ability or man's ability to make himself right with God through dead works, this is not the gospel of the Bible. You know, being a do-gooder, this is not the gospel of the Bible. There are many famous people who just teach the importance of doing good, you know. But that's not the gospel. You know, your good works is a result of your being saved. For by grace you've been saved, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. It's not of works. But the next verse says, for you are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, if you take that one thought as one thought, you are saved without works for the purpose of good works. So good works is a result of your salvation. It's not in order to be saved. Your faith is only in Jesus Christ. And when you are born of the seed of God, the fruits thereof is very evident. So watch out for false teachings. The question is, how can I be deceived proof here in this end times, in this culture that we live in? I have three steps. I want to just outline it as clear as I can. The first step is find a point of reference. How can I be deceived proof? Find a point of reference. Find out what is normal versus crazy. What is sane versus insane? What is good versus evil? Now, how do I find that? Where's my point of reference? It's in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, good, and to make us realize what is wrong, bad, in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, bad, and teaches us to do what is right, good. You see, scripture defines normalcy. My feelings don't define normalcy. Scriptures do. My opinions don't define normalcy. Scriptures do. Culture doesn't. Hollywood doesn't. The government doesn't. Scriptures define what is normal. Professors in college, they don't define right from wrong, good from evil, normal from abnormal, sane from insane. No, scriptures define that. And here's a big one. Not even preachers define normalcy. Nothing and no one but scriptures define normalcy. Everything else is crazy. Everything else in this world is crazy. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, good, and to make us realize what is wrong, bad in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, in other words, when we are bad, and it teaches us to do what is right, in other words, how to do good. So my walkaway point here is that my reference point in reality is scriptures. Nothing more, nothing less. I can't add to it and I cannot take away from it. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You see, here's a big thing. Being spiritual has become the popular thing in our culture. Being spiritual has become a sort of elitist thing amongst Hollywood actors and famous musicians. And for a few decades now, famous talk show hosts, TV talk show hosts with the likes of, I assume, Oprah and others, have been pushing the idea of being spiritual without actually needing to be scriptural. Pushing to be spiritual instead of living scriptural is an example of how Christ followers, born-again believers, the elect of God, might be deceived into evil. You see, as a Christian, the Bible calls us to pursue not just happiness, he calls us to pursue holiness. The scriptures don't call us to be successful, it calls us to be faithful. It doesn't call us to pursue fame, it calls us to make God's name great. It doesn't call us to be united with the world and at peace with the world, it calls us to be separate from the world and serving Christ no matter the cost. God doesn't call me to love myself, he calls me to die to myself and to be alive unto Christ. He didn't call me to live a spiritual life. He called me to live a scriptural life because His scripture is God-breathed, spirit-filled, and when I submit myself to scripture is when I start walking a spiritual life that is approved of God. The walkaway point here, friend, is I become deceived proof when my reference point is scriptures. Please make sure to follow us in the last portion next time.
Thank you for joining us today for a message from Pastor Jacques Jacobs with Christ Nation Church in Schaumburg, Illinois. Christ Nation is a friendly, life-giving church dedicated to serving the Lord by serving His people in the surrounding area and beyond, believers and unbelievers alike. Join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. or watch online by going to ChristNation.tv and selecting the Watch Live tab. For more information about Christ Nation Church or to download the podcast of all Pastor Jacques' sermons, visit ChristNation.tv. That's ChristNation.tv. This program is made possible by our radio church partners.
Christ Nation Radio Church is listener supported. If you have been blessed by this program and would like to invest in our mission here at Christ Nation Radio, then please consider becoming a monthly partner or make a one-time donation by going to our website at ChristNation.tv and then select the giving button. That is ChristNation.tv. With your support, we hope to continue and expand our mission of reaching hearts with the hope of God's Word. Just go to ChristNation.tv.